Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Sleep apnea can be a serious and dangerous condition that can affect an estimated 22 million Americans. My guest is the assistant professor in residence and chief innovation officer at UCLA School of Nursing and Brain Research, Dr. Paul Macy. Dr. Macy, welcome to the show. We're talking about sleep apnea, but specifically sleep apnea in women. What do you think is the problem with this particular condition and women? Is it that we are not being seen for it, that we're not going in for it, or even, Dr. Macy, that women think to themselves, I didn't get a good night's sleep, not because I might have apnea, but because I have 50 million things on my mind, the bills and the kids and the jobs, and women, that's just what we think about ourselves all the time.
Well, I think you're right. It's that women, one of the issues is that women don't see themselves as likely to have sleep apnea. They might just consider, this is just what's going on in my life. I'm feeling a bit stressed. It's hard to stay positive. They'll also find that when they go into their primary care, that they're less likely to be referred for a sleep study, that sleep apnea is less likely to be a problem that their physician would consider they have.
So, okay, so they're less likely to go in. Now you know a lot about this. So when you do see women, is this something that mainly obese women or women of, smoking women, genetic history? What women are you mostly seeing with sleep apnea? So that women can sort of lump themselves into little groups.
Now, that's very interesting because the stereotypical woman with sleep apnea does tend to be post-menopause. Maybe a little extra weight. But what I'm finding is when we actually go and look for people to come into our research projects and I talk with women, we do get a number of women who are younger, who are not overweight, and who don't have the stereotypical profile, if you like. And so the question I would ask myself, if I was a woman, which of course I'm not, but is, am I feeling tired when I wake up? Am I getting enough hours in bed and yet waking up feeling sleepy? And then my finding that during the day I just want to fall asleep, that I'm feeling very tired. And the other symptom that's more common to women, which doesn't get picked up so much because it is specific to women, is a more general sense of it's difficult to get through the day. It's a bit of a struggle. You know, we can call it stressful, slightly more anxiety, or maybe hard staying positive. It's not a true mental disorder. It's just more of a struggle. So I think if you have those symptoms, then you might consider, gosh, is there something with my sleep that is not working properly?
Okay, so Dr. Macy, because right now you've described most of the women in this country, and and because we so multitask and we are so busy, I know personally that I wake up tired and I do like to take a nap. But I've got to have so much energy in the day doing so many different things. I also know I roll around a lot at night, and I know that I'm up thinking of 10 million things and making lists. So when you describe those symptoms, and I say it's every woman, is there something else? Like if somebody tells us that we're snoring loudly or gasping in the night, or is there something besides sleepiness and having trouble getting through the day, because that's just so common? Would that send all of us to a sleep expert?
You know, I think if you feel your sleep is not refreshing and that you don't wake up feeling better than when you went to bed, then maybe you should see a sleep expert. But I think your point that not all sleep problems are sleep apnea is taken. And it's true to say more people would have what we could classify as insomnia or just not getting enough sleep, as simple as that. With sleep apnea, indeed, if you're snoring, so if you have a bed partner and they tell you that you're snoring, then, and gasping is another symptom that's even more characteristic of apnea, then those really would be pointing to obstructive sleep apnea per se.
What are we doing for treatments? Because I know that adherence to treatment is going to be the single most, you know, inclusive factor in it getting well, in it working for you. And adherence would seem to be one of the biggest problems with this particular condition.
Yeah, and this is an area of interest of mine, because one of the models was, you know, we have this device which, while it's not great, it does help people, the CPAP. It's a mask connected to a quiet pump that helps the air flow, but many people don't like using it, and many people struggle to start to use it, and they often get frustrated because they don't get help. And what I've found in my experience is that if you speak with women who do use this device, it's not because they like it at the time, it's because they think about how they're going to feel the next day. And they know that if they wear the CPAP, that they will wake up feeling that much more refreshed, that much more able to get through the day, that much more able to multitask and do everything that they need to do. So I think that's one key, is thinking ahead and thinking of the positive.
Now, and that is a great thing, because, but as you also know, and I know, trying to get people to exercise, telling them that they will feel better isn't always the motivation. Now, with women, I think a stronger motivation is that lack of sleep is a direct link to obesity, you know, and that we're linking these two things together so much.
Well, I think there are certainly many anecdotes of people going on CPAP and losing weight. We have a couple of people within our group colleagues who went on CPAP and lost substantial amounts of weight.
See, right there, that's the motivation you need, Dr. Mason. Right. You want women adhere. You tell them they'll lose weight if they adhere to their CPAP. You got them going.
Yep. Well, maybe that is the key for women. And you know, it's the great thing is that you start using CPAP and you naturally lose weight. It's not like the mental effort and willpower of a diet or the constant struggle to get out and exercise. You know, there is a natural amount of weight that does get shed for some and probably many women.
Now, just in the last minute, list some other treatments that you're looking into besides the CPAP for sleep apnea in women.
Yeah, well, I would note one that's been looked at recently is a device that goes over the nose, which has had quite mixed effects. Now, the advantage was that it seemed less invasive, less obtrusive than the CPAP machine, but unfortunately, there's very mixed results with that. We are looking at seeing whether we can stimulate the brain breathing circuits, because part of the problem is the brain is not signaling to keep the breathing going, the airway open, and we're wondering if there are other ways to signal the brain with stimulating the hand or the leg, but this is still very experimental. Another piece I would add is for certain women, not everybody, but certain women, having a dental appliance, a little like a mouth guard that pulls the jaw forward, can help.
And that is definitely something that's a new area and something you can even ask your dentist about, is the dental appliance to help with sleep apnea, CPAP, adhering to it. And they're looking at things in your brain, you know, all this research. It all gives hope to women that are suffering from sleep apnea. If you feel that you are, go see a sleep expert, because best motivation, if you get a good night's sleep, it will help you to lose weight without even trying. You're listening to Radio MD. I'm Melanie Cole. Stay well.